I would have to say Lawrence is probably the most wild party town, college party town. In
actually, K-State, is a real party town. I could definitely say that K-State is more of a party town than Lawrence. Like, after a K-State football game, I mean, well, it's like there's like 12-year-old kids in the street drinking, and like that's all there is to do there.
Now, what are those?
These are Sammies.
Isn't that cute? Yeah. Is that Wheatfield's baguette?
Mm-hmm.
Am I allowed to eat one?
Thank you.
Goat cheese and portobello mushroom and arugula. Yeah,
that's fancy.
This is the way to do an interview.
I actually like it whenever new AMs would practice at my garage, and they just come over for dinner. And
that's the way to do it. So that's a whole different vibe.
Is it good?
It's great.
This is the same thing, but with red onions and some baked tomatoes, too.
Don't mind if I do.
Jim Suptic is best known for being the guitarist and sometime lead singer for the Kansas City emo band.
Is that a Wikipedia page? I didn't even know I had one.
Isn't that funny?
I didn't know I had one until they said I did.
And then here's a picture of you performing.
Weird.
The question is,
how did I get my birthday and everything? That's kind of weird.
The question is, who writes this stuff? That's the question.
Yeah, I want to know who put that up there. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Can you search that?
But I know on the Get It Kids one, a lot of it's completely wrong. I know people are like, you have a Wikipedia, your band has a Wikipedia page. I'm like, yeah. Like, they think that, I'm like, you made it. Right. Like, you know, anyone can have a Wikipedia page. You can just go and make a page.
I don't think anyone can they?
Did you ever watch that show 30 Rock?
A couple of times.
One of the ladies, she was like trying to get Janis Joplin like because in a movie, and they're like, "Oh yeah, check out her Wikipedia." And they were getting on there completely changing it. Like, she wears garlic in her shoes, and all, you know, it's like those random. And so she just so she started because she'll it's on Wikipedia. It must be true.
Oh,
the
dog's
bothering
me. I can put.
No,
are you
kidding?
Come in here for a few minutes.
Richard, they bother you?
Yes.
No. Totally fine.
What a
cat. New Jersey.
Here's a key sentence. After the band broke up due to internal conflicts.
That's not true.
Rob and Jim reformed with Matt Pryor, who had been playing with Secular Theme and Friend Nation.
Oh, shit.
This is way, way back. Yeah.
I don't remember that.
The band officially formed on October the 14th, 1995, Suptic's 18th birthday.
That was the 15th. The 14th? Oh, that's right. Because we have 13, 14, 15,
that's
16,
actually true.
17.
Our first practice was on my 18th birthday.
So Jamie's the 13th, you're the 14th, Rob's the 15th, I'm the 16th, and Ryan is the 17th. At different months.
I didn't
Are
know
you
that.
Kidding me?
No. I didn't know that, actually. That's a new fact. Put that on there. Whip you that.
And at one point, we all worked for the Pizza Hut organization.
We've all
capacities.
Worked for Pizza Hut, yeah.
So your birthdays fall on consecutive numbered days of different months.
Mm-hmm.
And you all work for Pizza Hut together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is Kismet. This is meant to be. In 2004, Suptic formed Blackpool Lights, a side project with Creature Comforts drummer Billy.
That wasn't a side project.
Don't argue with me, man. Argue with me.
It was when you formed it because we hadn't technically broken up yet.
We had, though. We just hadn't announced it.
Well, here it says, after the Get Up Kids broke up in the summer of 2005, Blackpool Lights drew his full focus.
We've been calling them the Blackpool guys.
Mommy, that's... But, better than... Now we're not really a band anymore, either. So.
The band was named Spin Magazine's Artist of the Day.
Did you hear...
Artist of the Day?
Well, smell me.
You get to.
I know. I like
you. You like that one? Well, yeah, you're going to be photographed.
Howdy.
Blackpool Lights were also chosen by Major League Soccer to write and perform the official theme song for the Kansas City Wizards.
You did?
Ain't nobody gonna stop us.
Yeah, I mean, that's hilarious.
I know, but
it's hilarious. What's what you call start the bus?
I got food.
Oh, they're all here.
What's an apple pie?
What?
You smell my dogs, I know. You smell the two bulldogs.
You smell my dogs.
Go ahead. I think Willie's about to go into heat, so I probably have a real nice smell for now.
You smell like a dog in heat?
I think Willie's about to start, so.
You.
Look at this.
Jeez.
This is the way to interview.
No drinks?
I can make that. I made coffee. You want coffee?
I don't have coffee. I am not a coffee drinker.
You want coffee, bro?
Is this a usable chair?
Yep. Yeah. Spin.com, artist of the day. That's the most useless random fact ever.
Yeah, I can't see that that would...
We did it. Like, that's my claim to fame. Well, that, you know we were. Spin.com, artist of the day.
After the formation of Blackpool Lights, Subject co-founded Kansas City-based indie label Curb Stomper.
Well, that's not really.
Not really?
No.
It's a lie.
I tried to.
It blew up in your face.
It was like a...
It must be the same person writing this because they keep saying the band broke up due to internal conflicts thing.
It's a kid Dusty.
Oh, you know who writes these?
I think so.
Was it super? Is Dusty the same Dusty super fan?
Yeah.
The kid that used to let me into the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The kid who faked being in a wheelchair so he could get in the front row of a kid show that day.
What?
His girlfriend.
I don't know that story.
This was at the Granada. His girlfriend came up to me and was like, Dusty, like, he fell and cracked ribs and he's in a wheelchair. And she's like, can we make sure that he gets, like, on stage or right there? And it was like, what? Like, I see this kid walking around. Like, he's sitting in this wheelchair.
So you don't know he was faking it.
Oh, no, he was standing up. Like, he just was the... He showed up at the show...
It's a miracle!
At, like, 5 o'clock at the Granada. And it was like, what are you doing here at 5 o'clock? And they're like, well, we want to make sure he gets a good seat since he's in a wheelchair. And then, at the show, he's standing up. He probably would have. He did stop robbing Lord of the Rings. Ask for an autograph during the movie.
In the middle of a movie?
In the middle of a movie.
That's rude. How often does that happen?
Not that often. Not that often in Lawrence.
See that the video that guy was shooting yesterday is on YouTube?
You're a weird dude.
What's in there?
Goat cheese, portobello.
You're a weird dude.
Sun-dried tomato, onions, and arugula. The other ones are the same without the sun-dried tomatoes and red onions.
He was also a member of Alex Brawl's group, Tijuana Crime Scene.
He was? That's not mine, right?
Not me.
That's here. For their only album, Change of Venue.
I randomly get people coming up to me and telling me how much they like that Tijuana Crime Scene record.
Really?
And I go, really? For you?
Oh, do you now? Still listening to that. That's not very nice.
Graduated from Liberty High School in Liberty, Missouri in 1994.
You know it.
Started college at William Jewell College in Liberty and has a degree in music composition from the University.
That's not true.
That's not true.
No, I got kicked out of MU for going on tour with Coalesce.
I think so.
And he got kicked out of music school for trying to become a professional
musician. Musician.
Well, my music composition, my instructor was also the chairman of the music department.
Maybe after and ready. Okay.
I'd been going back and forth from Columbia to Kansas City to work with Coalesce, and so you know I'd miss a day here and there. And in the music department there, it was like you can only miss 3 days without losing a letter grade. And so we tried to keep everything to weekends, but I would always be like late on a Monday or I'd miss the class. And I was up to my limit, and then Coalesce got offered to go play CMJ in New York, and we were like, this is, you know, a big deal for us because we had the split with Napalm Death coming out. And so we went up, and then I got back. All my other teachers were real cool. We're like excited, and like, that's great, you know, you're going to go to New York and play a show. That's huge. Except for him, because he's like, this is not music. He's like, this is not, you know, what. He's like, if you're going to be in this program, you need to be dedicated to this. He's like, you can't be off doing that. He's like, you need to pick one whatsoever. So by choosing to go to New York and then coming back, he was like, I've withdrawn you from the music department. He's like, it's up to you whether if you want to withdraw pass and take yourself out of the music program here, or if you choose to keep coming, he's like, I'm going to withdraw failure. So I took the withdrawal pass out so I could keep my GPA in case I ever go back.
You were going back to talk to that guy?
We played a show in Columbia, and I yelled about him on stage for about a minute. But
was that the same time when you got all drunk and were yelling at the hotel next to the...
No, that was when I was doing merch for the Get Up Kids.
B-15! These nacho chips! These nacho cheese!
In 97, Coalesce played a music festival in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
With fellow Kansas Cityans, the Get Up Kids, who had just released their first album, 4 Minute Mile. At the end of Coalesce's set, they began smashing all of their equipment. Is that true?
Yeah. It was like the sixth song in. It was just kind of the plan because I remember we weren't too stoked on the way the show was going, since we were on a day where it was basically Get Up Kids, Hot Water Music, and all of a sudden there was Coalesce like in the middle of all these like bands that weren't
hardcore.
What are you saying? No, I just remember like Jess was like, whatever, we're just gonna break stuff. He's like, when we get to that part, and I was like, all right, cool.
I'll get you four.
And so then I don't know what made me do it, but I picked up my floor tom and just threw it. I threw it as hard as I could, and it made it all the way back to the merch tables across this, like, it was like a firehouse. And it hit a girl in the head who was looking at like merchandise, and her boyfriend thought it was awesome. But I went and found her.
Never watch that blood.
The thing was, like, I went and found her, and she had an ice bag on her head, and I was like, I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't throw it at you.
Didn't you go and, like, get a bunch of other bands' merch to give you?
Yeah, well, her boyfriend wanted Converge merch. I got him a Converge hoodie, and he was like, cool. But I offered, you know, to go to the hospital with her, and was like, I'll, you know, handle it if you need medical attention. It's my fault.
The story was that you killed someone.
Well, no, the promoter came up to me and was like, I'm going to have you arrested for assault. And I was like, I didn't hit you with anything. Like, you can't have me arrested. And I remember something about him wearing a sweater and tie in July outside. And it was like 100 degrees.
And I just remember that was one of the first times I'd ever really hung out with you. And you're outside smoking afterwards, and the promoter comes up and is yelling at you. And you just go, what? Have you ever seen us play?
Yeah, he was like, what was that? And I was like, dude, have you never seen Coalesce play before? Like, sometimes shit makes no sense on stage. And so his stuff gets broken, and he's like, this is the last time, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I'm sure it is the last time we're going to play Wilkes-Barre Festival. We had, like, people returning the CD and stuff, but, you know, there's no... I felt really bad, like, that me throwing a floor tom caused so much memory, but there is no bad press, so...
Do you remember when the punk rock scene was that, like, pretentious, where, like, I heard that you, so I'm returning a CD?
I'm sure it
still is. Talk to you later.
I don't think that exists anymore.
I don't know how you'd return iTunes. I guess you would call. I bought this Coalesce CD on iTunes, and I want to return it because 10 years ago the drummer threw a floor tom at a girl.
I heard you killed her.
She's dead. Okay. She haunts me every night. She throws ghost floor toms at me when I'm sleeping. I wake up like this.
This song's about Kansas. All right, let's try this. Woke up at 8, started the fire. Had a few drinks, we all felt inspired. Jumped in the stream, shoes and canteens of water. Was bitter cold. I laid in the raft till it started moving. Current just sang a song, was so soothing. We stopped along the way on a beach in the sun on a beautiful day. Our boats collide, we feel the breeze. We'd stay afloat and make the most. Swung from ropes in the woods. Missed all the danger, snakes and the flood. Burned by the razor next to our lakes of water. So bitter cold. A lunch had been saved along with the ladders. What cigarettes of us as reminders. Never trust a man.
Alright, moving on.
Alright, let's get the big one out of the way. You've disbanded, you reunited. Tell the story.
That's about it.
Yeah.
You got it right there.
I think it all goes back to a missing accountant.
It goes back to a missing, yeah. So, it does. It's actually why we all got together that day. We entrusted all of our money to somebody. All of our money. All of our millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, make sure you write that.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks you're rich.
Yeah, that's what there is.
Then they're both idiots. Tell that. Y'all tell the boys down at Home Depot.
We basically had like a $1,000 royalty check sitting at Vagrant that we couldn't cash because we didn't have a bank account. Because the company had gone into default because we had this bookkeeper who I think is at the bottom of a lake somewhere. She just completely disappeared.
Not only her, her whole company disappeared.
Yeah, her whole company.
Off the face of the earth.
So when Spoon played at Liberty Hall,
Last April.
Was that in April? Oh, wow. James was in New York, but the four of us got together to go open a bank account. And we just started hanging out, and we had a really good time. So,
how did you get a kid's bank account?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a... Were you incorporated?
Oh, yeah. We were lots of things.
Mainly delinquent.
Yeah, we were... kind of... Everything came to a screeching halt.
Yeah. And then we were like, well, now we got this bank account. Maybe we should do something with some money.
Had there been a lot of calls for this? Or have people been demanding your
I thought we were just getting some offers from festivals, too. That
we put out an exploratory committee.
To see if people were interested. Yeah, to see this play.
So, bye. Hey guys, how are you? We're going to go get Elliot.
Okay. Bye, Jersey.
Hi, Jersey.
So this is
the idea is just kind of a...
Our booking agent and our manager
are greedy.
Basically, yeah.
We kind of put the feelers out without telling people that we were actually planning on doing something. But to see if there was, if it would actually generate enough interest, and I think it did.
So, the next and probably most important question is, are you writing new material?
No. Mm-hmm.
I got tons of songs.
Good. So, I mean, this is going to be a retrospective.
So far, yes.
So far.
Yeah.
But you're not averse.
We're
to
having
it.
A hard enough time remembering our old songs. So we're going to try to take a new one.
Is it harder to play? I mean, now that you've had some time go by.
Some songs are really, like, you've just played so many times. Some of the newer songs, like Guilt Show, I just don't think we played them, or me personally, I didn't play them enough live, where I was actually having to, one song actually, Valentine, which we just stopped playing, I had to go to a guitar, like, ultimate guitar tab to find out what some kid figured out what I was playing, because I couldn't remember what I was playing. So I'm not really probably playing what I played on the record, I'm playing some kid's interpretation of what I was playing.
Let's do it. Are you trying to do faithful renditions of the songs, or do you allow a little variation-ish?
More so than before, probably.
Yeah. They're in the spirit.
We used to mess around a lot more.
What's your approach to this? How are you? You haven't seen each other for a while, so it's a lot easier to get back together. But you've been different musicians. You've all been off on side projects.
Yeah, we were just playing. We're like the world's greatest Get a Kids cover band. We're just going back and learning a bunch of old shit that we already knew how to play.
It was funny when we first practiced, because it immediately, like, we had literally just practiced the day before and we're practicing again, and you know, people were being mean to each other and, you know, smart asses and everything.
You slipped right back in.
Yeah, right back in. You know, I fell into the abusive wife role, and Matt was right back into the dictator role. And
thanks.
I'm kidding.
Thanks.
It's a joke. It's a joke. But
I think that's enough talking from you now.
Wow. See?
So, now that you've got some time on it, looking back on that first go-around, Get Up Kids go-around, do you have any insights to that? Was
the first Get Up
Kids? I mean, you got pretty sick of it towards the end. Did you all get equally sick of it? Or?
Yes. I think the biggest mistake we did is we kept forcing ourselves to tour. Like, I think we were all just kind of sick of each other. And just, I don't know. Regardless of whatever, I think we just needed a break. And I think we were all just, you know, when you're around people for 10 years all the time, as much as, like, I've hung out with these guys more than my wife, probably over that 10-year period. Rob and I were in first grade together, you know, it's kind of like, you see people so much, you probably start to know people too well, and, you know, like, can know exactly what pisses people off, what... You know,
to push everyone's buttons.
Yeah, we all knew each other. There's one button to push, and then it's on.
Yeah, I got really kind of got pretty negative towards the end there. Just kind of, just eat. I mean, yeah, everybody's in a better headspace.
Yeah, well, I think that's natural. I mean, how many months of the year were you guys out on the road together?
A lot. Seven.
Seven?
I feel like 1 year probably. We were on the road almost 10 months.
The most we ever did was 250 shows in a year. I think that's was 99.
You know, but, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why our band became successful, is because we did work our butts off and tour forever.
You can say ass.
There was no MySpace back then. There were just basements.
Scary
basements.
Very scary basements.
We played a lot of basements, a couple squats.
And what are you playing on this tour?
What's the basement question? Squats. This
we're
really have any,
we're just doing festivals.
Yeah,
right
there isn't even a tour. There isn't even a tour booked.
Well, so what is the plan now? You're back together. You're rehearsing. You're going to do a few dates.
We're putting out a 10-year anniversary. It's a 10-year anniversary of our second record, and we're reissuing that with a DVD and a photo book in September, I think. And we'll probably play some headlining stuff in the fall, but we'll do festivals. Here and abroad over the summer and spring.
Where are you going? Japan?
Not yet. Nothing's confirmed yet. We've put stuff into Japan and Europe.
Alaska, bamboo.
Belgium. And New York and LA. That's all we have so far.
Have you ever played Alaska before?
No.
Where are you going?
University of Alaska in Anchorage.
In Anchorage?
Yeah.
What time of year?
Next month.
March.
Good. Yeah.
It'll
be cold.
Yeah.
That volcano is about to go up too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry,
I don't want to talk about it.
It's cold up there.
Do you guys remember flying over Japan and flying over Alaska to Japan, and the pilot's always like waking everyone up in the middle of the flight going, if you look to your left, you'll see the smoke from whatever volcano's erupting.
Oh, I remember that.
It's like, what are you talking about? Can't see anything.
You weren't drunk.
It's because you were taking a bar of Xanax.
That was the first time we flew, and we all got cut off from the bar because we kept raising our hands up. Whenever
I thought that was your missing birthday when we flew to Australia.
That was you don't fly over. Was it Australia? I don't know.
I thought it was going to Japan.
Yeah, me and Brawl.
Yeah. James actually missed his birthday. Yeah, it was his birthday for an hour because we flew over the international date line and it like skipped a day. So James.
I stayed 24 for an extra year. And I behaved like so. For the whole year.
Do you all remember your first photo shoot as a band?
Yes. Paul Drake. At the member of the Mirrors?
That was at Chinatown's. The bathroom at Chinatown's.
Where? Kansas City?
Mm-hmm. He's a great photographer.
I bet you were a lot more excited then.
Oh, yeah.
than now. I mean, you've got to be thousands of pictures down the road.
He also did a really good photo shoot at the Nelson Art Gallery.
We did?
Mm-hmm. With Paul.
I don't remember that at all.
I remember walking around LA for the summer at home about photo shoot for Vagrant. We had to walk around those like houses.
It was about 3 or 4 years later. If I remember right.
Is that 3 or 4 years later?
Mm-hmm. How many videos have you guys made?
Three.
Four.
Fun experiences?
Four. Overdue was the best experience.
The overdue was awesome.
The overdue video is great because we're not in it.
For the animated one, I
hate videos.
What? Just a lot of hurry.
I'm not an actor. I feel like I'm having to.
You gotta swallow before you.
I feel like Travis Miller did a really nice animated.
I feel really uncomfortable. I feel like I'm acting.
Did he do the poster for that show at Liberty Hall?
Yeah. He's done a lot of stuff with us, looking back.
All right, so since you started to now, the record industry has gone through a lot of changes. What's your take on the industry now?
I don't know how bands can even make it. You know, it's so hard. Like,
make it.
Gas is expensive. I mean, just a tour. Gas is cheap now. Yeah. Well, it is at the moment. It's cheap. It's gonna go back up. Like when gas was $3.50, I just don't like bands starting out. I think.
Dude, all I know is that when we didn't make money off of records until like.
Oh, just I'm just saying, like, you know, shows, like being able to sell. It used to be like you sell a few CDs, you can get gas money, but yeah, it's like kids don't even buy CDs at shows anymore.
See, that's how it's totally flipped for me, because before, you know, the tour was to support the album. The tour would result in album sales.
But you're thinking about it from the record label.
Right, now it's
flipped. Your background. Yeah. Now it's just a full-blown, it's all, putting out a record is only one component of the business that is.
Record companies now are more like publicity companies, where they're, I feel like, I don't know, I haven't seen a new contract in a long time, or a contract at all, but I know, I think a lot of bands, the deals are, where like they get a part of your touring, where they get a part of your merch, was unheard of. You know, you're gonna sign a deal where they get your tour money. That's crazy. But now I guess, you know, if they're gonna invest all this money into you, you know, I guess the record now is just a promotional tool. That's all it is. It's not like a.
But it promotes the tour, because that's where the money is to be made now, right? Is
until we figure out how to bootleg tours.
Is that how
I'm working on that. I have a little laboratory on Facebook.
Yeah, when tours go digital.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
I think more than anything, the music industry is so fucking saturated. There's so many bands.
The cream always rises to the top.
Yeah.
I don't know.
See, that's the whole thing.
I'm tired of cream up on that top.
I guess let me rephrase. I mean, using the same phrase, like, that's good.
Thank you, I'm out.
You know, I think that there's a lot of bands out there, but there are a lot of good bands out there. You don't necessarily find.
It's the MySpacing of music, which I've played out about forever. Yeah.
Where the band you play is one of the most famous bands in the world.
Yeah. So. But I mean, but the thing is, like,
there were the good creeps.
There's cases of you know, bands that have risen above, you know, that have gotten real successful, whether they're good or not.
Panic.
Bro. Like, yeah, but they
Spoon was on Saturday Night Live and does well. TV on the Radio was just on Saturday Night Live. I mean, these are good bands that come out of, you know, the indie scene that then.
The thing is, what's so different now, though, is that everybody looks to the indie scene for what's going to be big next, and then you have.
But I mean, that's not any different than when Nirvana broke and everybody was looking to.
For the grunge band. I know. It's just
more than anything, I just think it's like you start. There's so many fucking bands.
The kids' attention spans are so short. I think when
our band started, it was like the way you found out about stuff was so different.
Yeah.
We were still going to record stores to discover new bands.
Told me the best thing. It was so funny. She said, "I remember reading about your band, like about what it sounded like, and I never heard of you, and I went and bought the CD." It's like, that's what kids used to do, you know? It sounds like this band. Well, I like them. And they would just.
Yeah, but how is that any different than, like, reading about it on a blog and then.
You go to MySpace and listen to it.
You can listen to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's for better or for worse. I'm just saying.
But I've always wondered if, I mean, you know, we said Picasso is one of the world's greatest artists, but is he? there could be many, many much greater artists. We just didn't hear about them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they didn't get into the machine that brought them prominence.
I tend to feel that way about it. Because I think there is a lot of crap, and it's a lot easier to get your bad band out there and get noticed. But then at the same time, it's a lot easier to get your good band that you maybe never would have gotten noticed because you're from.
It's not just a bad. I mean, having information and you know, that's not a bad thing. I think the problem is when you were in high school bands, you know, like us, Kingpin days, you make a demo tape on a cassette, and you know, it's basically your friends hear it. And now I think young kids, they think I have 50,000 friends on MySpace. Now I must be. Now I'm like all of a sudden, music matters. Like, well, I guess it matters to you.
But I mean, that's the same thing. Like being like, hype oh, we sold, 100 copies of our record through Lumberjack Distro. Yeah. Like, our band's totally popular. Yeah. Or we sold out a hometown show. We're totally big.
There aren't any more worse bands. Yeah. It's just easier to those worst bands to try to get their stuff out. And with digital recording, every kid can make an album in their house now. So,
right. And the bar is lower and lower.
We had to earn our. We had to play shows to save money to go. You know,
which is why you are in a position to be able to go on a reunion tour with some confidence. I mean, you know, you did pay your dues. You did work out. But all these kids on these MySpace pages, their dream is to be like you, to be a famous rock and roll band. Give them some insight as to the true nitty-gritty of the rock and roll life.
The highest level you can possibly get to is being in a hockey arena, in a locker room in a hockey arena. That's like the cream of the crop. That's the biggest tour you can get on.
That's what you get. That's
what you get. That's your big... That's the glamorous
it's
side.
It's not a very nice thing.
it's true, though. You get to that point, you're like, wow, this is like... This is as big as a venue can get, and it's like, and we're still in the locker room of a hockey arena.
Because you're in hockey arenas a lot?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I play stick. It's cool.
Yeah, but in a hockey arena, I mean, you got a guaranteed big crowd, so at least it's a good gig. You're making some money.
No, yeah, that is true.
I think, you know, being in a band, it's like high. It's like the highest of highs when things are going great, and can be the lowest of lows. So like you're like a drug addict to the music, where it's so good sometimes. It's like you forget about how crappy it can be because, you know, sleeping on ashtray floors. Yeah, right. I mean, we slept on a lot of floors. We slept on it's not like our success.
Did, we did I feel when like we were 18. Yeah, and no, exactly. 20, so it's just kind of like we're sleeping on the floor.
But I feel like people like
I did it last.
How did
year,
your band get big? It's like, well, we worked hard. Ago. People forget, you know, like we worked hard.
I splurged.
Do you get up to a better? I mean, does it get a little heat? Apart from you getting used to it, does now at this level, is it, I mean, you staying in some hotels for a change? And,
yeah, that's like when your per diems go from $5 to Taco Bell for $10, and then you go up to like $15, then to $20, it's like, you know, wow, I've got money in my pocket.
Yeah, $5 a day.
$5 a day.
That's a pack of cigarettes and two bean burritos. That's what $5 a day is.
You can't even buy a pack of
cigarettes. No, not anymore. This was in 1998.
So, yeah, we know it's hard. Touring, all the crap you have to put up with. What are some of the shining moments for you over the years? I mean, each of you got
playing music for a living is just awesome. Yeah. I mean, if you really look at, besides all the stuff that happens, it's still really cool that, you know, you start playing, writing your own music, performing your own music, getting to play it for people, and getting paid. Like, that's just the fact of making money off of it.
You know, is that what amazing. Gets you through the drag time? Is it just like, well, at least I'm working, you know? My own thing.
Travel. I mean,
yeah.
I remember the first time we got to go to Europe. I mean, it was just like, I didn't care.
That was really the only goal of the band.
That was.
Like, I wanted to go to Japan.
But I remember being so cold, sleeping on floors in Europe. You know, it's like, you just don't care. It's like, I'm 19, I'm in Europe playing music. And I'm living the dream. I mean, I was living the dream then, you know?
It's all about just traveling.
Well, and it's...
Traveling.
It's... You gotta get I definitely lost perspective of stuff because this band became
a machine,
such
more than
a job and such a machine that it was just sort of like, it felt like it wasn't fun anymore. And then now coming back, I'm having, this feels like it's the 90s again. Like, I'm having more fun doing this now than I have the last 5 years we were a band.
Is that because there's a little detachment from it now?
Probably. I think we're also...
And there's no pressure. And we can go, hey, let's just go play a show for a week. Okay, now we're home for 2 weeks. Now let's go you know, yeah. before. And there, it's not like we're
well,
we can do whatever
also,
we want. Not
everybody
like, record
has
labels
other things
aren't
going on,
us,
on too, which means that this can actually be maybe even like a bit of an escape from all the other things in life. All
right, so
there's
let's
other
look.
Bands, there's businesses, there's families, there's you know.
All right, starting with you. What are the other things that are going on?
I have 3 kids.
Well, yes, you have, yes, you have a family, and but then you also got.
I write. I'm writing stuff now.
Probably. No Amsterdams?
No, just probably doing more solo acoustic stuff for a little while.
More from the Terrible Twos?
I haven't decided if I want to continue down that avenue or not. It's weird.
I like that avenue, though.
I like the album, too.
Some really good pop music. James, what are you doing?
Well, I moved back to Lawrence from New York, and, you know, I like it a lot. It's good to be back. That's like taking a break from everything. I took a break from Kansas City and Kansas and stuff, so moved back. I used to do Reggie and the Full Effect, still kind of doing it, but it's kind of just whatever right now. The touring keyboard player for My Chemical Romance, but that hasn't gone on since May of last year.
What is that?
What's that noise?
It's a bird clock.
That's an owl clock.
Well, it's noon. The owl goes off at noon.
I like it.
That's about it. You know, just enjoying being back. Like, you know, it's just nice to be back and with all my friends and stuff and hanging out and not in New York.
But Reggie's up kind of on hold.
It's just kind of, yeah. I mean, you know, it's something where I said I wanted to be done with it, which is true. But at the same time, like, I was thinking about it and it's like, well, you know, anything I write, it keeps sounding like Reggie. So. I mean, if I called it James DeWeese or called it something like that, it's like it's
say that again.
Still going to sound like Reggie. So
you'll have the lamb.
You'll
have the lamb. I'll have the chicken.
I'll go with the fish.
Right.
If you go back on tour, then people are really going to call bullshit on all of us for farewell tours.
Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, it's our 33, dude. I don't really care anymore.
Of all the people that I've seen say anything about us getting back together, it's like 1 to 99. That are like, well, they've only been broken up for a couple of years, and then 99
you know,
people go,
you know,
this
I was thinking
awesome.
About that, but to us, we've been broken up way longer than what people think we broke up.
Say that again.
You and I broke up in like 2002. Yeah.
Anyway, our band actually internally, we knew we were breaking up way before. Like almost a year before
the thrill was
knew.
Gone a year before. Yeah.
So we knew we were breaking
up. We broke
up
on tour in Australia, and then we didn't.
So we really
we
haven't
knew we weren't
been
playing
a
shows,
for
but then we
five
also.
Years.
How did that come about? How did you decide to disband in Australia? What was the circumstance?
The circumstances.
Ooh.
The circumstance of Australia.
It's a little personal.
Let's say, not that trip to Australia. It was the first
Let's
trip
say
to Australia.
Japan
was
awful.
The bad one.
I was freaked out.
I was miserable, having kind of a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
And
pretty much.
It was pretty much kind of like.
We were going from Japan.
To Australia. It was in Melbourne, and so we had a talk, and they were like, you know, what's wrong? And I was just like, I'm burnt and I'm miserable, and then it was kind of. I think that like
I don't need you.
What?
That
what?
Didn't happen.
That didn't happen at all.
What? Ryan, what have you been up to?
Oh, you know me, Tom.
You've been a businessman.
Yep.
Yeah, I do know. And,
studio.
Kofax.
No Kofax. Roman numerals.
Roman numerals, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kofax isn't doing anything.
Are you still doing that Olympic?
Olympic size? No. Not doing that anymore.
But then you're in the Joy Division cover band.
Joy Division cover band.
Oh, that's alright. Mm-hmm. Well, so this is good. This will get you, this will feed your music Jones for a bit, right? Your road Jones.
Right. Traveling.
It is all about that.
Yeah. We're going to get to go to some pretty interesting places.
New experiences, new people. New foods.
You like going to Asia, don't you? You like the
they East. Broke up a lot. Sorry, that was just too easy.
They play the casinos around Connecticut.
Japan. Jim, what have you been up to?
Well, I was in that band Blackpool Lights. We toured for a while. And then everyone quit on me. And now we're not a band anymore. Even though we never really officially broke up, but I, you know, kept writing songs. I have like 20 songs, which maybe some of these guys are gonna help me record in May. I don't know what it'll be.
Yeah, I know you're doing.
I don't have a, I don't have a record label. I don't have.
It's called Revenge Fuck.
Yeah,
but there's always MySpace.
No, it's not.
We're gonna go do it.
But then I, for the last year, I haven't been playing music. I've been working part-time jobs to help support my family. That's what I've been doing.
And then Robbie, you've been the most consistent.
Have I?
In the music, maybe not.
I think these two guys.
Yeah,
have
you
been.
Guys have too. Yeah.
I just put out lots of records.
But you toured. You toured a lot.
Yeah. I compare a lot to how we used to tour. Compared to how we used to tour, I don't tour very often.
How many months out of the year do you devote to Spoon?
This last year was pretty busy. Probably at least half a year.
Half a year.
Yeah. Between 2007 and 2008, I was pretty much gone about half the time. But it was odd. We never really did like a lot of proper touring, like getting a bus for a month. It was a lot of fun.
You guys did a lot of fun.
Which becomes miserable.
Which kind of became miserable.
Is the bus preferable to fly?
I prefer to be asleep.
I think it depends how long a tour is. I mean, a bus is, and it sounds like, oh, these grumpy rock stars or something, but I mean, a bus can become like a tomb too, because that's all you see. You kind of, you know, you get in at night, then you just end up in front of a venue, you know? You miss kind of, when you tour in a van, you get to see the...
Well, flying all the time.
Anyway, you get to see the town more. Sometimes you're just seeing your bunk.
Right.
It's like,
my favorite way to tour that we never did was in an RV. I really liked
we
touring.
Did that.
You
together.
Did that.
That was what we did with the New Ham's tour.
Yeah.
It's fun. Go camping, go cook your own food. I like that.
Huh? It's cheap, too. Yeah. Maybe we should RV it.
Get a driver and an RV and a box truck.
Yeah.
Like a Winnie?
That sounds dangerous.
They're fun to drive. It's like driving a van with a sail.
Cheap Trick, Surrender.
It's a good song.
There's a story behind that, though.
Yeah,
I don't know how they wrote it. Really, I mean, you have to ask them.
No. Come on.
We were on tour with this band called Weezer, and we were at the Eagles Ballroom in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And the guys in Cheap Trick were there. I think they were playing their own show.
Like they were playing
the next night or something like that,
hockey arena.
Yeah. And they were there with their kids because their kids were big Weezer fans, and they asked Weezer if they could play a song with them, and Weezer said no, and we were like, "Yeah, we'll do it." And so we played "Hello" and "Surrender."
Hello
with
there,
Robin and Rick.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was really cool.
Ryan and I went out to dinner with them.
You did?
Fancy German place.
Yeah. I don't know where Jeffrey Dahmer worked at.
Yeah.
Well, he used to live across the street from that place.
Yeah.
When Rick came in to get his drunk kids out of our dressing room, started screaming at him, he was like, "I hate you, Dad!" He's like, "Go outside, the limo!" He's like, "There's a limo outside waiting to take you
in.
Go get in the limo right now!"
My dad sucks.
Yeah, he's like,
"You guys want to get high?" "No, man."
No, these kids were drinking, like, these kids came in and started drinking beer because no one was stopping them because they're Cheap Trick's kids. And then Remember he came in and he's like, "Are you drinking again? Get in the limo!"
I do remember that Rick, they borrowed Brian Bell from Weezer's Let's Paul, and he was playing it, and then afterwards he just took it off and handed it out to the crowd.
Yeah.
The guitar tech was like, "Ah!" Yeah, and like dove into the crowd.
You guys were big fans of Weezer, but then after you toured with them, you got to see the a different side of Weezer.
Yeah.
Do those old songs still sound as good to you?
The first two records are Pinker still good.
First two records,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it still sounds good.
There was a while after that tour where I did not want to listen to them at all.
I don't think I have.
They came up on my Pandora station recently, and I was like, "Yeah, I remember. I used to really like
it." It was a different world they were from. They were from an LA kind of just. It didn't come from like where our band came from. But we toured Green Day right before, and they were really down to earth. I mean, I don't want to be best buddies with them, but at least after a show, hey, that was a good show. I mean, there was nothing like that.
I've never toured with a band for a month and not met them.
Like, Rivers is a strange guy.
Yeah.
And right. All the stories you've heard about him are true.
Someone said something about him being competitive, like looked at us as competition or something. It's like, what?
Well,
you're Weezer.
We were blowing them away.
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably.
I remember meeting his assistant, and she was like, "Oh, yeah." She's like, "Rivers really likes the way you play piano. He plays piano too." And then she's like, "I was like, oh, really?" And she's like, "So have you guys talked at all on the tour?" And I was like, "I've never even met him yet." And she's like, "Well, hang on." And then he's like, "Rivers, come here." And he's wearing earmuffs and like big mittens. Comes like walking over, looking down at the floor, and she's like, "This is James from the Get Up Kids." And he's like,
The only time I met him was in the bathroom, and I'm taking a pee, and I look over, and I said, "Hey, we heard a good show last night," and he looks at me like I was like some alien. Like,
I said,
like, scurried away.
I think I said good show to him like during their sound check, like on the second or third night. I was like, "Man, good show, sounds great," and they all just went.
Brian Bell, you guys would be fun to hang out with if you didn't smoke.
Yeah, Brian Bell said I smoked too much.
We smoked too much for them to hang out with us.
Didn't you banish cigarettes or something on the road one time?
Did I banish cigarettes? No.
No.
I feel like I've always been very accommodating.
We would have broken up much earlier.
There was something. No, that was what it was. It was in your rider.
Mm.
You used to ask for cigarettes.
Yeah, we lobbied for it for a little while, but we didn't.
After a while, you want to start testing the limits to see what you can and cannot get.
What's the nuttiest thing you've asked for and got?
God, it had to be something for. Oh, I know. Like 30 pies.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. We had more than 30.
Yeah, we bought.
We had a pie fight after James's birthday one year.
In Philadelphia.
30 pies.
Yeah. There has to be something like Ellis got, like some random.
Who has the video of that?
I have it somewhere.
We need to post that up somewhere.
I'll have to dig through some hard drives.
Watch Jim get creamed.
Yeah.
You can tell how our internal, like, just all the tension that we're keeping bottled up comes out in the pie fight.
Yeah. When you have a pie fight, you can really tell.
It was a good time, though. We also
celebrated
that.
It smelled
awful for days.
Oh, they had a throwaway. I went back there or something, and they said they had to throw away the couch.
No, they were
The
guy that owns the place told Ellis it was cool because they were redoing that dressing room and getting rid of all the stuff, so it was cool for us to go in that one room.
Do you remember we tried to save our shirts from that thing? Like,
oh, they smelled so bad.
They smell awful.
You still have it?
I still have my shirt. I got it out.
Oh.
That's a good question. Like, you're looking at these Wikipedia pages. Who archives? Who is the official? Is there an archivist within the band?
No, we're not bad about it.
Actually, I have all this shit.
Like, I found a tape of mats of all these demos for something I know about.
We've been really bad about that kind of stuff. Yeah. We tend to live in the moment, I think.
I ended up with all the photos.
Yeah.
You have video of our first time in Europe that I want a copy of. I haven't even seen that since we went.
We had a lot of stuff in my parents' basement, and when they moved,
still,
yeah, when they moved to St. Louis, my dad had like he filled a couple boxes with like Doghouse, the red Doghouse jacket that they made, the Foreman & Milo jacket, a bunch of posters we had there.
Anything that we would actually care about,
like posters and stuff from a long time ago, and
I've got a couple posters, old posters. I lost all my vinyl.
When the kids started rolling, when was that moment where you guys, as a young band, went, uh-oh, we might have something here? Was there...
One moment for me was MXPX tour in Detroit when we sold over $1,000 in merchandise. And I remember
thinking... It's all about the money for you, isn't it?
Holy shit. Well, I couldn't believe we sold $1,000 in merchandise. Like, it was just, like, unbelievable.
I have a memory in my head. I have.
Where else
would it be?
Refrigerator.
I remember on our very first tour, and we were driving to Rhode Island. We were driving up 95, and I remember talking to you, and like I was like, I think I could. That whole first tour was just supposed to be like.
Yeah, I was going back to college.
Yeah, everyone's going to go back to school. And I was like, I think I could do this. This is kind of fun. You're like, yeah, it totally is. And then we played that
That was the show where we switched with Braid every song.
Oh yeah, that was fun. We played in Al's basement.
Was that that dude's name?
Al Barkley. Oh, Contrast man. Records. He put out one of our first 7-inch.
I know the label. I just don't remember the.
Do you remember the first time the crowd just went really nuts?
Yeah, for show.
Yeah, right. Actually, that Wilkes. I remember that Wilkes.
You
yeah,
guys did awesome
festival.
Like, I remember like, wow, kidding this. CMJ magazine when you guys were on Broadway, and I worked at Pizza Hut in Liberty, and I would always come down and hang out. And when 4 Minute Mile came out, it debuted at number 4 on the CMJ charts, and it was like
that, it did.
Three? Oh, excuse me.
Really?
Like, yeah, it was
to number 3.
I remember seeing that, and then I was like,
at number 3.
I was looking for Coalesce on the CMJ metal chart, and I was like, okay. That one only goes up to 10.
How did your parents feel about all this when it was happening?
I have a quote from my father when I told him I was dropping out of college and I had a scholarship at the Kansas City Art Institute, and I'm like, I'm dropping out, giving up to go on tour. I want to go to Europe. And my dad said, well, I want to go to Europe. It's like, what?
But now my mom didn't like it until we got to go to Europe, and then she thought it was a real job.
Yeah, I was at it convincing them it was a real job.
Wow. My parents were happy I was in
a band. Do they still believe that you're a professional musician and you're not going to go on your
When
mission?
They saw you on Saturday Night Live, did they finally go, well, he's almost that guy.
Well, he's almost
He's not actually on the show. He's not a cast member. Yeah.
He didn't have any lines.
Road food.
Hate it. Used to love it, but...
One of the worst, for me, it's one of the worst things about touring is, at least touring in a van, is having to make frequent stops to find something healthy to eat at a pilot like that, or a Flying J.
Usually it's good when you open for bigger bands. Like we toured Dashboard Confessional, and they had like decent catering a lot.
My
like the Lobster Night.
That was one time. They had a lot of...
It is hard to stay healthy chicken. And eat. You know, you're also, your whole schedule gets weirded out. So, and if there's not something good next to the club, and you gotta, you know...
You don't get taken out?
So it just depends. I mean, when you're in... I guess it depends where you are.
No.
There's
places where... There's certain cities where we all have places that we like to go eat. Like, you know, in cities where there's, like, nice restaurants that we all love for years. Not anymore. But, you know...
Are you off chili? Is that...
Dude, I'm just off all that.
Really? You off chili?
I'm off... Danica's got me on the lean diet, man. Turkey.
You're not going to be hiding pizza in your bunk
anymore? There will be no pizza hiding.
We used to find James with rotisserie chickens stuffed on his bunk, asleep with like rotisserie chickens on it.
I fell asleep at Boston Market, stuck in my chest. Remember the kid that brought me all the Cadbury eggs when we played? I'll sleep on those.
The kid who brought you Cadbury.
I asked this. It was around my birthday, so I'd asked on the website, like, "Oh, I'll take a box of Cadbury eggs." Like, case, because over there you can get them year round.
It's not like a McShake or a McShamrock.
No, so this kid brought me like 48 Cadbury eggs, and I put them all in my bunk, and then got drunk and fell asleep on them. Which is not the first time I've fallen asleep on food. Which is, you know. The warning signs were there. I just wasn't reading them. And I woke up with chocolate everywhere, chocolate on my blankets. And the bus driver was like, "You're going to pay for those. I'm not washing that out because it looked like poop." I'm about to shit myself.
Oh, but
what happened last night?
Delicious chocolate.
He smells delicious.
Ed Rose. How has Ed Rose factored in the career of the Get Up Kids? You, Ryan.
Oh, he had a lot to. It was the first, we recorded our first EP with him.
We technically recorded with the first 7-inch with
Mike Mogus. And AJ Mogus.
And Ryan was in the band.
Yeah.
You worked with Ed, your business partners with Ed, you and Rob, and a couple of ventures. Yeah. Is he like your fifth Beatle?
He did
that's
record.
No, that's Clarence over there.
Did he shape your sound at all? Did he refine your sound?
I think that first EP sounds pretty incredible for how quickly we recorded it.
But it's also, I don't think he really produced anything on it.
No,
he engineered it.
He was playing solitaire the whole time.
Yeah, he was playing solitaire the whole time. He was really helpful with the whole Guilt Show thing.
We did demos for On a Wire with him that helped sculpt a lot of... They probably sound better than that record.
Yeah.
How are y'all feeling about American songs?
A lot better than I was a couple months ago.
Yeah, you think this?
But
I know how you feel about it.
Just wait and see. See. You think it's I think it's going to be easier for you to get abroad and tour with a...
That was one thing I even thought about. I go, man, I wonder if people are going to be nicer in overseas.
I'm sure they will.
Not that people were really unnice overseas, but...
When was the last time you were overseas?
Yeah, I know.
Did you encounter some hostility?
There's been some snide remarks here and there, but I mean nothing.
Everybody wants, every major. European and people, they want to tell you what they think.
Of course.
You tell your president.
They'll be like, what? You know, I do not like your country. It's like, what? What? I'm here to play a show.
But they say you're very sexy when they say it. He's very
cocky head the way they say
it. No, I do not like your country.
You know what?
People
know the difference between a people and an administration. And I think smart people, like, you know, can understand that just because you're an American doesn't mean you agree with everything that your government does, if Republican or Democrat, whatever.
Well, music will transcend that anyway.
Yeah. Absolutely. If you're over there playing in a band, I think people understand that you're kind of part of the counterculture as it is.
And you're an ambassador
of
that culture.
Leonard Skinner does not tour overseas very much. So.
No, they probably don't do a lot of that in that big...
When they show up to play, like, in Philippines, people
ding,
are like...
Ding, ding,
come on, everybody! Y'all look real funny.
You look different than me.
How has it been for you going from one business, music business, into business, where you have to, where you have actual companies that you have to take care of? You missing the...
Well, it was a lot... It's a lot more fun just to, you know, only worry about playing shows. A lot less stress.
So this is going to be... This tour and this little reunion is going to be a...
Like a vacation.
A vacation
party. Yeah.
So, what's the agenda?
Liberty Hall. Practicing.
Practice, Liberty Hall.
Alaska,
the California. Festival in California,
Belgium,
the festival in New York.
What's the festival, Coachella in California?
No,
Bamboozle.
There's, who else is playing there? There's
50 some, Cent.
No Doubt.
Yes,
right.
Yes, 50
No
Cent.
Doubt.
Wow. Fall Out Boy.
That should be pretty good.
Fitty, huh?
And then like 80 more other bands. I think it has like 12 stages.
I think we're just taking things day by day at the moment.
They want California to spread out over like 10 miles.
So there's no. This is, we're just going to do it as long as it feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of set up.
I don't know where we're going. I have no idea.
Keep it light. Keep it light. We worked really hard at something for a really long time, and now we're just going to enjoy it and take it easy and do it when it's fun. You know.
I think it's going to be more too. If people want to see us play, and if we're playing well, then...
Hey, Bug! And now that Blink-182 is back together.
What?
Now that what? Blink-182, guys! Happened last time on the Grammys.
The mail came.
They announced it.
The mail
came. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Can I see the mail?
Yes.